Hello, welcome to The Holistic Horse. My name is Kira Burns. And so today I really wanted to talk about the, shall we call them, arena sour horse, or that's usually the description that people use when they ask me for help with these types of horses. So these are the horses that don't want to go in the arena, that get in the arena and just, you know, shut down, won't go forward. Maybe they pig root. Maybe they won't get out of a walk. When you put your leg on, they just go, you know, more behind your leg. They go slower. They get cranky. Some of them get to the point where they won't even go in the arena or let themselves be, you know, led or ridden towards the arena. And yet, seemingly in other environments, whether out on a trail or, you know, down the road or something like that, these horses are fine. And the humans say that this is something where it's gotten progressively worse, and yet doesn't seem to affect them anywhere else other than the arena. And I'm going to say, what I'm going to say will apply, whether it's just in the arena, whether it's everywhere, whether it's whatever. But these are just the descriptions that I get the most often. And it's actually really upsetting because, you know, I know that for whatever reason, these horses seem to come up a fair bit for me. I seem to have a fair few people who come to me with these horses. And interestingly, they often come to me as a bit of a last resort. I don't know why that is, but it just seems to be that by the time I talk to them, it's been going on for a really long time. It's gotten progressively worse. And by the time I hear from them, they're basically considering, you know, selling the horse, but they're not even sure how they can sell the horse because the horse won't go anywhere. So there's a few things that I like to do with these horses, and there's a few things primarily that I want to check with these horses. But first of all, I just want to kind of clarify here that if you're coming from the perspective of a horse genuinely doesn't do something with the aim of getting out of work. And I say this because I think that's a very common phrase that we use. Oh, you know, they're just trying to get out of work. They're just trying to get out of work. They're just trying to get out of work. And it's like, that's not really a horse thing. It's a human thing, absolutely. But I don't really think it's a horse thing. I think that horses, in basically every scenario, do either what they think they have to, what they think will keep them alive, and what we train them to do. And yes, they will take the least line of resistance. That to me doesn't mean that they avoid work, because this concept of work is quite different to us compared to a horse, I think. I think it is literally like when we think of work, we think of the things that we are asking them to do. And what we are asking them to do is always really either do what we want them to do, and so therefore they have to understand what we want them to do, or we teach them by making what we want to do the line of least resistance. And we can do that in a number of ways. And if you want to look at how we do that, then obviously go back to the operant conditioning episode, because I go into great detail about that. But really, I think with anything, and this is particularly the case, it's horses do well if they can. They do what we ask if they can. And before people jump up and down and go, you know, but yeah, of course my horse can trot, and of course my horse can, you know, do whatever, you know, he does it out on the trail, so therefore he can. I mean can as in mentally and physically can. I don't necessarily just mean physically can. Because if you think about it from your own perspective, and the number of people who go, yeah, yeah, but like, you know, 2 months ago he did this. Okay, great. Well, 2 months ago I was working on my fitness and I could do actually multiple pull-ups for the first time in my life, but I haven't practiced them for a few weeks, actually a few months, and I doubt I could do multiple pull-ups now. So just because I could doesn't mean that I can now. and using the example of the pull-ups, the determining factor on whether I can actually manage a pull-up, honestly, is a mental thing. It's actually got nothing to do with the physical strength. The person who taught me, I learned in 3 days how to do a pull-up, and I can guarantee you I did not build more strength in my biceps in those 3 days. But anyway, that's a separate thing. So when I say can, I mean, can they do that right now? Do they have the physical and mental bandwidth to do that? And can they understand what it is that we actually want them to do? So when we come to the arena sour horse, the things that I want to check are, you know, obviously for physical pain. So a lot of people think about the back and the saddle fitting, and that's great. I also want to look at the bit and the bridle fitting, because we've, you know, learnt over time that what happens with the tongue directly affects what happens with the hind legs. So essentially it can be like having the handbrake on if we have something going on with the tongue. And what I will say for those horses that will go forward on the trail or on the road compared to the arena, often on the trail and the road we have far less contact and we do far less with the tongue than we do when we're in the arena. And that's going to come up later as well, but just as a heads up, that's often a factor, is that we do far less and we're far less fiddly and we do far less with the tongue. So there's far less restriction there. The other thing that I also like to look at is the hooves. So in the arena, if it's surfaced, maybe there's a case of the sand being quite abrasive on bare hooves. We can also have even just things like the angles. So people talk about negative palmar angles, the hoof pastern angle, all those sorts of things, those low heels, are actually going to affect a horse far more if we are asking the horse to do circles, if we're asking them to travel in sand, compared to out on a trail on that harder footing, in straighter lines, etc., etc., etc. So looking at that as well. And then obviously, depending on what's being asked of the horse in the arena, you know, if it's specifically around being asked to go in a particular frame, well, are they actually physically capable of going in that frame without pain? So let's say that we have, and while we can never really rule out pain per se, because we are not that horse, we can't look at another person and look at their posture and determine that they are or are not in pain. But let's say for that horse's sake, we're relatively confident that the horse is not in pain. We're relatively confident that the gear is fitting well enough for the horse to be able to do what we're asking them to do. The most common thing I find, and usually people have checked that before I see them, but, you know, I like to check it again. But the most common thing that I find is genuinely the training. And the training is, does the horse understand leg? How to go forward from leg, and more to the point, is there any good reason why the horse should go forward from leg other than because we expect it? And this is where our operant conditioning comes in. This is where I see people where, because the horse has been behind the leg, because they've jacked up maybe, because they've not wanted to go forward, it's like we jam the leg on and we keep it there and we keep it there and we keep it there and we keep it there. And so it's like, oh, we finally got trot after 10 minutes of trying. So we're going to desperately cling to that trot and try to keep the horse in trot and be, you know, kicking and shoving and squeezing and all of the things. And even if we're not doing this hard, it's like there's no break. The horse got into trot and then we nag them even more once they got there. So here's my question to you. If you have one of these horses, what is in it for them? What is in it for them? If they trot, if they go forward, if they go where you ask, does their life become easier or does it become harder? If they were to go and if you were to get on them today and they had, you know, they'd been really arena sour, you hadn't been able to get a trot at all for weeks. And prior to that, you were doing elementary dressage training. They were, you know, they were going forward, they were in a frame, they were doing lateral movements, they were doing all these things. If today they woke up today and they went, you know what? I'm up for going forward again. And you asked them to trot and they went straight to trot and you asked them to canter and they went straight to canter. What would you do? And here's the thing. My guess is, regardless of what you might think you would do in this moment, odds are what you would do is go, oh, thank goodness that's over, and go back to your elementary dressage training. You'd ask them to go in a frame and you'd ask them to do their lateral work and you'd ask them to do whatever. So here's my question for you. What is in it for them? So they have, you know, miraculously woken up and decided to go forward in the arena that day. And all they've gotten out of that is more pressure. More pressure, more work, to use that human idea, but more pressure, more effort, more pressure, more conflicting aids often. More. It's just been more. And my guess is, honestly, as much as you might think that you would do different, I will say from, you know, observation, from my own humanness, I'm guessing that you would go, oh, thank goodness my horse is back. But at no point do I think that you would go, oh, yay, pat the horse and let them stop and be like, wow, thank you, buddy. Thank you for going forward. And I can say this for myself. I can say this for the people that I've worked with. And the people that I've worked with are not bad people. They're not unreasonable people. They want the absolute best for their horse. They love their horse. They come to me because other people have told them to, you know, kick the horse and hit the horse and drive them forward. And they don't want to do that because they believe it's a nice horse. These are nice people. We're all nice people, but these are nice people. They want to do the right thing by the horse. And yet when I've worked with them and the horse has trotted and they've been blown away by this, I've still had to remind them to actually thank the horse in a way that's meaningful. So what does this mean? This means that we actually need to make sure that when the horse does something we want, that the pressure decreases rather than increases, even if that's only for a moment. The other thing we need to do is we need to look at our own human expectations, because we have this thing where we go, okay, I want the horse to trot. Great. So we put on leg and we plan. We know our upper end conditioning. We're like, right, I want trot. So I'm going to put on my leg and I'm going to leave the leg on until the horse trots. Great. That's awesome. Good upper end conditioning. Well done. The only problem is, what if the horse doesn't trot? What then? Because to us, that is one step. You know, step one, we get on. Step two, we walk. Step three, we trot. Step four, we canter. Step five, you know, we do laterals or something like that. To us, all of our riding is basically five steps. But here's the thing. If your horse doesn't understand what is in it for them to go forward, if there is no good motivation, no good reason to go forward, they're probably not even going to get all the way to a trot, which means that the leg never comes off. The leg never comes off. And if you listen to the podcast that I did on operant conditioning, it essentially means that there is nothing. There is no meaning to that leg. That leg means absolutely nothing, because if you listen to the operant conditioning podcast, you will remember, I hope, that when it comes to negative reinforcement, the moment the horse learns is the moment when the pressure comes off. They learn when the pressure comes off, not when the pressure is put on. That is not the moment of learning. The learning is when the pressure comes off. So when I said that to us, trot is one step, no. To the horse, put leg on, go forward, leg comes off. That is one step. And when I say forward, that doesn't necessarily mean all the way to trot. Especially if this has been going on for months, for potentially years, your horse has gone forward without anything in it for them, without any reward, without any release of pressure, and they've done it out of the goodness of their heart, and at some point they've gone, you know what? No. And that's where they've become arena sour. They've become progressively more sour. So I always talk to people about the fact that you're going to have to prove yourself. You're going to have to prove to your horse that you have changed, that you've turned over a new leaf. So if you put your leg on and they think more forward, the leg comes off and they get a reward. And I often encourage people here to use pats and words and even food as extra positive reinforcement so that we can move through this a little bit quicker. But you're going to have to prove to your horse that there is something in it for them. There is a good reason why they should move forward. And the good reason is not just because I said so. So if they think a little bit more forward, if they take one step, if they walk a fraction quicker than they were before you ask them, the leg comes off and we thank them and we tell them that they're fabulous and they're amazing and they've done the right thing and that is the correct response to what we want and all of the things. And when I get people to do this, I get them to do it with loops in their reins. There is absolutely no pressure on the front saying stop. I don't even really care often what direction the horse is going in. All I care is that the horse, when the leg goes on, they get a fraction quicker or even think a fraction quicker, and then the leg comes off and they get a reward. And this sounds tedious, right? And when people do it, it's like, what? So I'm just going to be stuck in walk for the next however long? It sounds tedious. And the number of times that I hear people go, yeah, but he was doing blah. He was doing elementary dressage. Yeah, but he was doing this. Yeah, but he was going in a frame. Yeah, but it's like, yeah, that's great, but he's not now. And for months, it's been getting worse. So this is where I say go slow to go fast, as in, that's really great that we go, oh, but he was doing this, but he's not now. And you've just told me for the last 6 months he's been getting worse. That, yeah, he used to do that, and then suddenly he wouldn't go in a frame, and then he wouldn't canter, and then he wouldn't trot, and then he wouldn't walk, and then he wouldn't go in the arena. And then we do a session, and by the end of the session, the horse is trotting around the arena, and almost invariably, the rider says, well, can I canter? Can I pick up the reins now? And again, this is where we as humans, we have our own expectations and we forget that the horse cannot read our mind. We forget that the horse doesn't know, oh, if I just trot, the leg will come off. They don't know that. They can't see that in your mind. They can't see, oh, all she wants is trot and then the leg will come off. And I hate to break it to you, but odds are, and I'm saying this to myself as well, odds are if you're really honest with yourself, if your horse just trotted when you asked, you would do exactly the same as these riders. You go, oh, well, can I canter now? Oh, can I ask them to go in a frame now? And we forget. We forget to keep asking the question, what's in it for the horse? Why would the horse A, want to, but even more than that, because often they'll even do things that they don't want to, but it's like, why would they even connect the leg to going forward? It's like, honestly, if you wanted your significant other or a friend or a family member to do something, so you, in your head, told them what you wanted them to do without saying it out loud, and then when they didn't do it, you shouted it at them, and you shouted it at them in your head. All silently in your head. It's not going to make them do it. We can ask them to trot as much as we like, but if we don't actually make it clear, make it in a way that they understand, where they go, oh, okay, when she puts leg on, she wants me to go forward, great. If we don't bring it back to horse level to realize that what we think of as one step, one rung on the ladder, is not necessarily that to our horse. That might actually be 10 rungs on the ladder, and we think of it as one. And yes, when our horse is really well trained, when they really understand their job, yes, they are amazing, and they let us layer training on top of training on top of training until, yes, picking up trot in a frame, with a particular bend, in a particular direction, at a particular pace, with a particular level of engagement, yes, that becomes one step, but it didn't start that way. And we forget that. So my challenge to you, if you have one of these horses, or to be honest, even if you don't, can you recognize and can you start asking yourself, what is in it for the horse? How can I make it so abundantly clear what I'm after, and how can I make their life so much better for doing what I ask so that they're more likely to do it? And when can we recognize, oh, I actually just asked for 10 things in a row without thanking them for the first one, without softening, without taking the leg off, without there being any reward for the first thing. I actually just made a huge mental leap because I had in my head that today we were going to work on whatever, flying changes, which means that I blustered over the walk and I blustered over the trot and I blustered over the canter because my aim was flying changes today. And so I forgot to thank them for the fact that they actually walked and trotted and cantered before that. Before we got to the flying changes, I had this idea stuck in my head and I forgot to actually check, does my horse understand all the steps up to there? I forgot to actually thank them for all the steps up to there. I just expected this one big thing from them. So that's my challenge to you. How much can you break down your training into one little thing at a time and reward each and every step? And how often can you say, okay, what's in it for the horse? Because honestly, I promise you, it sounds like you will go slower. It sounds like you'll never get there. It sounds like you'll be stuck for ages. It sounds like if you have this arena sour horse that you'll just be walking around gradually going quicker walk without ever getting to trot. But I actually guarantee that these horses, honestly, I can say 100% of these horses that I have ridden have gotten to the point of walking and trotting and cantering on that first ride happily. And with their humans, yes, the human usually, because the horse has no preconceived ideas from me, I don't have to prove that I've changed. I only have to prove myself once. And so, yes, they do tend to progress a little bit more quickly with me than for their human, because in that particular case, yeah, their human has to unlearn some habits and the horse has to unlearn some training. And so it takes a little bit longer. But I can say, yep, actually, I think I can say every single one of them has been up to canter by the second ride. And this is from people who, while that might not sound like a lot, cantering around on a loose rein, and maybe it's only for a long side, or maybe it's only for a couple of steps, but it's like, these are people where they haven't been able to canter for months. They haven't been able to trot for weeks or trot more than a couple of steps. And suddenly their horse is doing this really big, fancy, happy trot and picking up canter willingly and cantering along. And yes, it's on a loose rein, and no, we haven't added back in, you know, contact, and no, we haven't added back in laterals. But if you think of what a huge change that is, it's actually enormous. And so if we're a little bit patient, if we're a little bit deliberate about breaking things down into smaller steps and rewarding every single step, if we embrace the go slow to go fast, we can actually turn things around so much quicker than we can if we try to do them fast. So that's my challenge for you. Let me know how you go with it. I hope this makes sense. I hope that it helps you progress much more quickly in your training. I hope that even if you don't have an arena sour horse, I hope you're now thinking about when you have an expectation in your head that your horse couldn't possibly anticipate. And I hope that you're recognizing where your horse maybe deserves thanks, even just for the little things, and how that might actually help you in the future, where you suddenly have a horse that offers you what you want rather than you constantly having to ask or to tell or to make. I hope that helps. If you want to see more of what I do, see more of my work, I am at Synergy and Freedom on Facebook and Instagram. I also finally have my website back up and running, so it's www.synergyandfreedom.com. And from there you can see not only my in-person work, but also I do work remotely with clients and horses, as well as online courses and things like that. So I hope you go and have a look, because I finally have my website back up and running, and that's very exciting. And I hope you have a fabulous week, and please do let me know how you go with this.